Well, hello, and welcome back once again to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. As always, picking it up where we left off yesterday, we are in the book of John, chapter 1, and we ended by talking about Jesus' first recorded words in the book of John, which we had just read in verse 38. And those first recorded words were, "What do you want?" And in last message, we talked a lot about the connotations of what that one simple question means. And again, I encourage you to go and listen to yesterday's message, because today is really a continuation of where we left off yesterday. You can do that, and you can listen to this one by going to washandword.com. Clicking on the media tab, and there you'll find the messages for you to listen to or download. You also can swing by the Wash and Word. It's a hand car washing business that my wife, Victoria, and I are running. This is a business ministry, and the money we earn, we use to support our family and to support the business and also to support this ministry. We never look for handouts. We want to do like Paul, and we want to make our tents for our living. We don't want to tax and burden anybody. But that being said, back to Jesus' first question, what do you want? And then again, all the deep and the meaning behind that question was a lot more than just a simple question where, what do you want from me right now? But then we talked about his last recorded words right before his death, and that is, "It is finished." And we touched on we touched on what happens between point A and point B. You know, Jesus said he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we talked about how when you start a journey and you end a journey, those are the two points. But all that happens in between, you know, if you're going on a hike and you start in Georgia and you end in Maine, if you hike the whole Appalachian Trail, you know, that's a great thing to do. But what happens in between those two points, that's the all-encompassing part of life, the experience of the things that we will experience. So looking now at his last recorded words, "It is finished," let's look at that for just a second. Because I want to take a moment to ask you the same question. You know, Jesus said, "What do you want?" And if we were to ask ourselves that question, let me put it this way: if we were to answer the question, "What do you want?" and we were to take Jesus' last words on the cross, "It is finished." Well, listen to that: "It is finished." So, when the question goes out, "What do you want?" the answer comes back, "It is finished." What do you need today? It is done. What concerns you? What are you anxious about? It is complete. What ails you? It has been healed. What scares you in the dark? It is exposed. What causes you to stumble? It is smoothed out. What is unfinished or undone? It is finished. It is done. To see that Jesus took care of everything. And that's why yesterday when we said everything you need is found in Jesus, he is the beginning and the end. He has smoothed everything out in between. And we talked about being on the road to righteousness or holiness, that being the only thing we should be desiring in our relationship with Christ. And if you're seeking righteousness, if you're seeking God's will, if you seek the right things in the right way, for the right reasons, and then you pursue them, that's the important part. Well, then we apply Jesus' final words, "It is finished." Let me say that again. If you seek righteousness, if you seek God's will, if you seek the right things in the right way for the right reasons and pursue them, it will be done. Do not expect the riches of God if you continue to dwell in the poorhouse of self. Don't wallow in the misery of your life, of your circumstances. Remember, it is done. Jesus accomplished it. All right, now let's move on and let's see how Jesus answered the question that the disciples asked him. In verse 39, it says, "Come," Jesus replied, "and you will see." And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Now, when we talk about the pursuit of righteousness or holiness, we have to consider Jesus' words here. Jesus said, come and you will see. But don't miss this part. It says that they spent the day with him. That's really important. So it says, he said, come and you will see. And it says that they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. And why is that important? Let's take a look at that. Now, we've been talking a lot about holiness. And if you truly desire holiness, I mean truly desire it, well then we must go where Jesus is residing, like the disciples. Now, in our text, it meant a literal spot. At the time, they went to where Jesus was staying and they spent the day with him. But it is not the same today. Well, maybe it is. You say, well, you know, Jesus isn't here. How can I go spend the day with him? Does not Jesus also reside in a literal spot today? Well, you betcha. I mean, besides your heart, the Bible is clear in Mark 16:19. The Bible says that after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, this is after he was resurrected, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Now, there are some Bibles that interpretations that completely omit Mark 16 because the manuscripts hadn't been found at the time. So if you need further proof, we also read it, which is in every Bible, and that's Hebrews 10, verse 12. It says that when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So where is Jesus residing? At the right hand of God. So if you want to pursue holiness, if you want to seek righteousness and become more Christ-like, i.e. sanctification, then you must, by logic, go where he is. And if he is at the right hand of the Father, then where must you go? Yes, you must also go to the right hand of the Father. That is, to the very throne room of God. Now, when you hear the words, go to the throne of God, that sounds a little bit daunting, doesn't it? I mean, that's kind of scary, but listen, and this is important. In Hebrews 4:16, the writer says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Do you realize that you and I as Christians, and only you and I as Christians, you must have Christ in your heart, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to a place prior to Jesus' coming was only reserved for one man, one time a year, and his approaching had to be performed exactly to the letter or he would die. But in Christ, we come boldly to the throne of grace. But there is a paradoxical catch, if you will. You see, having the ability through Christ to approach the very throne of God is not the same as saying, come willy-nilly to the throne, or come flippantly to the throne, or if you got time, or, you know, if you just got a second while you're driving, or, you know, come just to the throne. No, listen. In fact, the paradox is that we must be cleansed before coming before the throne. Why? It's the very throne room of God. But you might say, but I thought Jesus already cleansed me once and for all of my sin. We just read that in Hebrews at my time of salvation. And yes, the answer is yes, he did. He did cleanse you for all of your sins at that time. But even Jesus himself said in John 13:10, he said, a person who has had a bath need only to wash his feet. And so sure, we have been forgiven and we have been healed. We are now clean completely, but we are not perfect. We still are sinful. We still think ugly thoughts and do ugly things and have moments of weaknesses. And so the paradox is that before you come boldly before the throne, You must take a look at oneself and you must remove and confess and repent and mourn over the sinful parts of your life that still remain. That is why 1 John 1:19 gave us this fantastic scripture that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I keep mentioning this paradox. Well, here it is. We cannot pursue holiness away from or apart from Jesus. But part two of that is we attain holiness as we come near to him by virtue of our cleansing. Let me try to explain that a little bit better. We can't just come before the throne of God with all of our sin. We have to cleanse ourselves. And we can't cleanse ourselves unless we go before Jesus and pray and confess and mourn over the sins that we are still committing, the thoughts that we are still thinking, and the things that we are still doing that are contrary to God. So by coming to Jesus first for cleansing before going to the throne, we are automatically becoming more holy before we approach God. It's like a paradox. Like, we can't come before God until we are cleansed, but we can't be cleansed until we come before God. Do you see that? It's not a catch-22 because it works great in any way you slice it. And so one last application. Hopefully we'll have time to get it in. And here it is. And I don't want to overlook it because in this verse, it says, they spent the day with him. And this is paramount to holiness. See, you cannot attain holiness or righteousness without spending time with Jesus. And getting back to our cleansing of oneself prior to us going to the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, there is a correlation between staying with Jesus and repenting of sins. Let me explain. We'll call them ticky-tacky sins, you know, the things that we confess even after our salvation. But what about the one thing that you keep doing? What about that one thing you've been struggling with, what seems like forever? You know, it's great to have the removal of our daily sins and go before the God of grace and receive mercy. But if we stay with Jesus and spend time with him, real time in prayer, real time in meditation and study, you'll realize that Jesus loves you too much not to address that big issue that you might not be willing to give up right now. Or maybe you've been trying, but you're unable to release it. That thing that just keeps popping up that you keep doing. You see, that's the Lord Jesus' job. He will come. He is light, and light exposes darkness. But we have to spend time with him so we can pursue holiness by going before the throne. And in order to make ground in these things we struggle with, we have to stay with Jesus. We have to spend time with him. And that requires a lot of things you are unwilling to do. We must release the great weights that we are carrying around. And so in summary of this and probably the last two messages, we see a few quick points. And that is, we must travel in the correct direction to successfully reach our destination. And in between what you seek and what you find is the all-encompassing journey. What do you want? Jesus said. It is finished, Jesus said. And tomorrow we're going to look at the third dot as we kind of connect some of these dots. And that's going to be fulfillment of the search should lead to the proclamation of the discovery. And we will look at that as we take on tomorrow's sermon. And we'll continue in verse-by-verse Bible preaching. Thanks for tuning in. Hope to see you at the Washing Word. And we want to work to earn our money. And we will wash your car by hand. And you there, you can listen to this sermon on a loop all day long, 107.1 FM. We play that in the parking lot. And again, go to washingword.com for all the information you might need for the business, the ministry, and to hear these other messages. Well, God bless you. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow at the same time at 8:30. Have a great day.